For you.
Pati.
Pati.
Husband.
Atma.
Of the mind. Samadhina.
Samadhina.
By meditation.
No.
Never. Abhinandati.
Abhinandati.
Welcome.
Loka.
The people.
I am.
These.
You.
Abhadram. Inauspicious.
Asamatha.
Unacceptable. And the king of the Yavanas replied, after much consideration, I have arrived at a husband for you. Actually, as far as everyone is concerned, you are inauspicious and mischievous. Since no one likes you, how can anyone accept you as his wife? Please repeat, the king of the Yavanas replied.
The king of the Yavanas replied.
After much consideration, I have arrived a husband for you. Actually, as far as everyone is concerned, you are inauspicious and mischievous.
Since no one likes you,
how can anyone accept you as a wife? Explain a little before we go farther. Just the lady who's being spoken to. This comes in the middle of a long allegorical story, and the woman that is inauspicious and no one likes is old age personified. It's an allegorical story. I won't go into all the details. I'm just going to cover the philosophical point. But I read the purport, and I think I'll probably read the next verse too, because the purport on this one is short. Purport. After much consideration, the king of the Yavanas decided to make the best use of a bad bargain. Kalakanya was a bad bargain, and no one liked her, but everything can be used for the service of the Lord. Thus the king of the Yavanas tried to utilize her for some purpose. The purpose has already been explained. That is, Kalakanya, as Jara, the invalidity of old age, can be used to arouse a sense of fear in people so that they will prepare for the next life by engaging in Krishna consciousness. Om again Timurandasyag and Dhanashlakaya Chakshurandlitamina Tasmaya Shivaya Namaha. So Kalakanya is an old age personified, and nobody likes to get old. You look ahead and see many years ahead of you. It seems like a long time, but it goes by very quickly, and before you know it, you're older. But people don't like old age. In our youth, we think, I can do this, I can do that, and I can enjoy, I can get married, I can have a job, I can have a kid, I can make money, I can have all kinds of things, and you wake up and you're looking. So that's the nature of youth. In youth, you feel like there's a lot to look forward to in the material world, in the realm of material activities, in the realm of, I want you to look around here, you see, I can go in Boston, I walk down like Newbury Street, or in Copley Square, all the expensive stores, and all the beautiful people with their shopping bags and stuff that, you know, a dress that they pay $200 for, or whatever, or a belt that some guy paid $50 for, a belt, and some guy gets his face shaved. There's a place over there where they shave your face for $40 to shave your face. So the people are walking around thinking, I got it together, I got money, I'm buying this cool stuff, and I'm fashionable. Look at me, I'm beautiful. And so that's the nature of material life. Everybody, because they identify with the body, I gotta say, you're not that body. This is revolutionary information. You're not the body. You're a well-known college in the world, Brandeis University, and then Brandeis. There's these professors that are like renowned as intelligent and brilliant men and women of science and sociology and this and that. But the thing is that you go to Harvard, MIT, you go to big schools, and you talk to anybody, they don't know that they're not the body. It's the most basic, fundamental principle of spiritual knowledge. You're not the body. The body is a temporary thing that comes into existence at a certain point in time. The soul is impregnated into the womb of the mother, and the mother provides the body that develops gradually around the soul. You, the spirit soul, you have no need of a material body. The body is completely extraneous to the soul. The example that Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita is just as a person takes off old and useless clothes and puts on new garments, the soul similarly takes off this body when it becomes old and useless and takes another body at the time of death. This is commonly referred to as transmigration of the soul or reincarnation. It just means it's not something mysterious. It is mysterious in the sense that everything is mysterious. But we say, oh, I understand, you know, we see a baby grow into a young girl or boy and gradually grow older. So we think we understand that process. But what do we understand about the process of aging? We don't understand it. But we think that because we see it every day and we're familiar with the process and we've gone through it ourselves in this life, we think that, well, yes, I understand that, how the soul, the body changes and it grows, you get a new body. I understand that. But the transmigration of the soul into another body, that's like, oh no, that's the, I don't know, what is that? I don't get that. But that it's just no more than another phase. This body gets old and useless, doesn't work anymore, so the soul has to leave it. And it doesn't work anymore. Like if you have a car that the transmission goes and the engine is blown, you have no choice but to leave it and get another car. This car doesn't work anymore. So the transmigration of the soul is exactly the same thing. This body doesn't work anymore, so you have to take another body to fulfill your material desires. The point of Krishna consciousness, the point of any bona fide religion, is that we don't want to take another material body, but we want to get out of this material world full of misery and go back to the spiritual world, go back home, back to Godhead, where we belong. We live in the spiritual world eternally as a pure spirit soul in relationship to the Supreme Soul, Krishna. And then you don't have to take one birth after another, but you have a spiritual body that's eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. So it's not a sectarian thing. It's not like, oh, the Hindus, it's like you say you're studying Hinduism. Hinduism, Prabhupada explained, is that the word Hinduism actually has no specific meaning. It's come to mean basically anything from India that goes under the heading of religion. It can be demigod worship, it can be impersonal, it can be voidism, Vaishnavism, but the word Hinduism actually comes from the Muslim people on one side of the Sindh River. Do you know this? It's on one side of the Sindh River in India. And they were Muslims, and they called the people on the other side were the Vaishnavas, or devotees of Krishna, or Bhaktas, Krishna Bhaktas. So they called them, referred to them as the people who lived on the other side of the Sindh River, but they pronounced Sindh at S as an H. So it became Hind, and it became Hindu. That's where the word comes from. So it has, people say, oh, Hinduism, that's, they have some idea that that means Indian people, Indian religion. But the term itself has no meaning from the spiritual point of view. There's no, like if you say a Christian, well, that's easy to understand. A Christian is someone who worships Lord Jesus Christ. Or a Muslim, that's someone who follows in the tradition of Muhammad and Allah. So, but Hinduism, it has no specific meaning. So we don't even use that word. We don't use that word. Krishna doesn't use that word. We use the term Sanatana Dharma. And the Sanatana Dharma means the eternal occupation of the soul. As if you were born in Mecca, you'd be, chances are, you'd be a Muslim. If you were born in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, you might be a Southern Baptist. If you were born, and you'd think the Muslims were crazy, and the Muslims think you were crazy. If you were born in Rome, you'd be probably or Ireland, and then you'd be a Roman Catholic. You would have been trained in Roman Catholicism since birth. So these different designations of religion are exactly the same as the designation of, if you are born in America, you're called an American. If you're born in India, you're called an Indian. It's just another bodily designation according to the place you're born and the traditions you're raised in. In this life, you could be born in a Roman Catholic family. In your next birth, you could be born in a so-called Hindu family. It's just according to where you're born. But the real thing is the Sanatana Dharma, or the eternal occupation of the soul, is to serve God, to be a servant of God, to worship God. And Krishna is a name of God. The word Krishna, the name Krishna, all attractive. And all attractive, it's like where you're attracted to people in this world. If someone is beautiful, everyone's attracted to them. If someone has a lot of money, everybody wants to be their friend. If someone is rich, I mean famous, movie star, pop star, music star, baseball star, everybody wants to know them. There's different features that make us attractive in this world, that somebody, but Krishna, the word Krishna means he's all attractive. That means he's the infinitely beautiful. And his beauty never fades over the course of time. The beautiful person now is I heard this quote from Cameron Diaz. You know who Cameron Diaz is? She's a beautiful actress, right? But she's getting a little older now. She's 41 years old now, so she's not 20 years, 25 years old now. She's still beautiful, but, you know, it's starting to fade. And so generally a famous man is famous for his beauty, he becomes 30, 40, 50, he's not beautiful anymore. So a reporter asked her, how do you feel about getting old? She was very practical. She said, I love getting old. If you're not getting old, you're dead. So, it was a very practical girl. So sometimes movie stars, when they start getting older and they lose their looks, they get all depressed and everything. You see that? I love getting older. But so anyway, so the eternal occupation of the soul is to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna is the most attractive person. He's infinitely beautiful, eternally. He's a word that people know is omnipotent. He has unlimited, infinite power, and it never diminishes in the course of time. He's omniscient. He knows everything. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, "I know everything that has happened in the past. I know everything that is happening in the present. I know everything that will happen in the future. But me, no one knows." So, of course, you can know Krishna according to his will, but within the material realm, no one knows Krishna. It's a common thing. Well, do you believe in God? No, I don't think there's such a thing as God. No, God doesn't exist. Oh, I believe in God. Yeah, I think there's a God. But it's a foolish thing. It's just like if you go out on a, it's just like if I ask you, do you believe that in the sun, do you believe there's such a thing as a sun in the sky? And if you would say, well, are you crazy? Of course there's a sun in the sky. Everything depends on the sun. So, but we're so foolish in this world that as conditioned souls, forgetful of God, that somebody says, do you believe in God? Do you think there's such a thing as God? And people say, no God. But that's foolish, that's childish, it's ridiculous, it's ludicrous. That of course the Krishna God is there. Everything and everyone depends on Krishna just to breathe. Every minute, every second you have to breathe. Where does the air come from? You didn't make the air. I didn't make the air. The scientists at MIT didn't make the air. But we're all breathing air at every second. Without air, so God is there. We all depend on Krishna every second. Every second. Just to raise our hand. You can't raise your hand unless Krishna allows us to raise our hand. Everything. So Krishna, the word means all attractive. The word, just like people know the word yoga. Yoga, and they think, oh, that's bodily exercise. The word, or something like, or meditating in the lotus position. So yoga actually comes from is the same root as our word for yoke. Like you yoke two cows, oxen together so they can pull the plow. So yoga means to link together. And we have to link ourselves with God. And actually religion has the same meaning. Just like we have the word ligament or ligature, it means to tie together. The link means to tie together. So it actually has basically the same meaning as the word yoga. We have to link ourselves with Krishna, with God, through the practice of bhakti yoga. Bhakti means devotion. You have to, if you want to get to know anyone in the material, anyone, because you two have some relationship, some to either friends or boyfriend, girlfriend. So you have some devotion, some kind of devotion toward a relationship or devotion towards each other. So that only comes about through an attitude of service. You have to, the one person says, oh, I like you, I want to do this for you, and the other person says, oh, I want to do this for you. There, in any type of relationship that develops, there has to be some service based on love. So that's the same principle. It's easy to understand because we do the same thing among ourselves. So the same principle applies to reestablishing or reawakening the knowledge of our relationship with Krishna, that we have to serve Krishna in devotional service. We sing songs, we read his words, we hear different stories about Krishna. We make flower garlands for Krishna. We do all these, cook for Krishna, clean for Krishna. These are all activities of devotional service by which we can come to know Krishna. Again, reawaken our relationship. We all have an eternal relationship. So anyway, the last point, the point of the verse is that so it's talking about the youth. The people like youth because you can do a lot of stuff and enjoy the body. The body gets old and it's aches and pains and this and that. And you sit on the floor, it's hard to stand up, or you get so many different things. So, but that's good because it makes you serious. You start thinking like, oh, this body isn't going to last much longer. I better use it. I better use my time now for spiritual life. I don't have much time left. I have to turn to God now. So people, I mean, they should do it. The best thing to do it is at a very young age. Start turning to God at a very young age. That's best. But even if you don't do that, at least towards the end of life, when you know that this body doesn't have much longer, I can't stay with this body much longer, at least now I should use it to get serious about my spiritual life. And generally we find that frequently happens. As people, and my father was grew up in a Jewish tradition, but in his teenage years he turned against religion. He became pretty much an atheist. But at the end of his life, the last few years, he started going back to temple and started thinking about it seriously again. That's fairly normal for people to naturally take to God consciousness, Krishna consciousness, towards the end of their life. Because it really makes you think. Oh, I used to be able to do that. Can't do that anymore. People used to depend on me to make money. I used to be like someone people could depend on, and I was supporting the family, and I was taking care of this, and I was taking care of that. Now I can't work anymore. Now I'm sort of useless. Nobody can depend on me for anything. I better think of what does that mean for me? You know, where is my value in life? I used to think it was that I was the breadwinner, or I was the mother taking care of the little kids and the husband, and everybody needed me. Now they don't need me anymore. The kids are grown. Nobody needs me. What am I? So old age tends to make people anyway. People serious. Anyway, that's the point of this section in the verse. And people criticize it. Oh, come on, you guys, you know, it's talking about death and leaving the body and getting old and decrepit. You people are morbid people, pessimistic people. And so we are pessimistic about the material body because it's inevitable. But we're not pessimistic about, we're the most hopeful people in the world because we want to go back to Godhead. And when you go back to the spiritual world, you have loving relationships that last forever. You're not separated by divorce or death or ethnic cleansing or anything, or religious persecution. Climate change in the spiritual world. There's no, you don't need laws against plastic bags and clutter everywhere. So we are pessimistic about this world and this material body, but we're not, but our real existence is in the kingdom of God. And for that, we're the most hopeful and optimistic people in the world. But we do tend to talk about, really heavy things all the time. Okay, we'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Second?
Yeah, and boy, I'm debating whether to ask because, but Prabhupada said, this is when we can talk things.
Yeah, you can ask.
And your body
yeah.
is Krishna's. So you have to take care of your body as well.
Yeah, we take care of the body.
Being pessimistic doesn't mean that, I mean, I haven't heard that we're pessimistic about the body.
Well, of course we're pessimistic about the
pessimistic,
body.
Pessimistic, then the word might be a little... We're the very, choice of words might not
we're very
be...
very negative about the body. The body inevitably gets old. The body inevitably gets sick. Birth, death, disease, and old age. We're very pessimistic about the material.
When you're pessimistic, you have no hope.
I don't mean it like that.
Well, it's just a word. There it's is just no, a word, so...
There is no hope for the body. There's no hope for the body. These bodies get old, they get sick, and they die. Dust thou work, and dust thou shalt be. You know, there is no hope for the body. There's no hope. While we have it, we're instructed to maintain it
yes.
in a healthy condition so
there.
That we can
so
use it for the service of Krishna.
That's all I was asking.
Okay.
Well, we have it, we take care of it.
We take care of it. But we don't go to extremes. We don't go to extremes. There's one episode of Prabhupada in Bombay. It was last year, I think it was in 1977. And of course his health was very bad then. And he was giving a lecture at a Pandal meeting, and many people there. It was outside. Pandal was outside. And one person, I was in India, but there was like a bodybuilder there, an exercise freak there. And you may know people like that. And he asked a question, during questions, he asked Prabhupada, he said, what about good health? And Prabhupada's reply was, there is, emphatically, his reply was, there is no such thing as good health. There is no such thing. What Prabhupada called the body is the emblem of disease. If you have a body, you have to get it. And these are indisputable facts. It's just the facts of life. We don't like to think of it because we're attached to the body. We've been living in this body for 18 years, or 60 years, or 45 years, and you get really attached to this thing. The material illusion makes you think that you're the body, and it's like Prabhupada gives the example of a car. Like somebody buys a car in Boston. There's all these fancy cars around, BMWs and Rolls Royces and Maseratis, and you spend like, or even if you just have a beat up old Ford or a Toyota or something. You know, an old Tercel from 1986, you're attached to your car. People really identify with their car. And it's like, oh, this is my baby. Sometimes they give it a name. Yeah, this is my baby. They take care of it. And somebody runs into it. Prabhupada says, they get out of their car and they say, oh, you hit me. You hit me. You didn't hit the person, you hit the car. But because the person identifies with the car, and loves the car, therefore he says, oh, you hit me. And he actually feels the pain as if you hit him personally. But it's the same thing with the body. The body is just a vehicle that we ride around in. But we are so used to living in it, we're so much attached to it that we take the pains and the pleasures of this body to be our own. Anyway, we could go on. one, right?
Yes.
But yeah, we are directed to maintain our bodies in good working order, so that we can use it for Krishna's service. Any other questions or comments? You want to?
You defended yourself very nicely. I just wanted to add that we don't put our we're pessimistic about the body because we don't put our faith in it. Ultimately, it's not an insurance policy to rely on your body.
Yeah.
But what do we put our faith in? We put our faith in that which is eternal. And Krishna is eternal, and each one of us has an eternal spark called the spirit soul inside us. And yeah, it's really wonderful news.
We don't have the spark. We are the spark.
We are the spark. Thank you.
That's like, a lot of times people talk about the soul, and it's like, do you have a soul? Do you think you have a soul? It's like, do you have a big toe, or do you have an appendix? Like, do you have a soul? Yeah, I think there's a soul in here somewhere. I think I have a soul somewhere. It's no, you are the soul. The soul is you are the soul. That's what makes you you, because you are the soul. Okay, let's stop there. We'll go to Shishu Prabhupada.